of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's December 14th, 2010. This is our winter holiday beer show. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. It's where the beer industry meets the larger beer community. See the latest updates for Beer Cloud, a mobile app to help you locate your favorite beers and store tasting notes. On GreatBrewers.com, it's all about the brewers. And we're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 27 New York City beer bars that serve, promote, and support good beer. Check out GoodBrewerSeal.com. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Ray Dieter. And our special guest, Sam Merrick, founder of Civilization of Beer and our own Beer Sessions Radio Sommelier. Our guest tonight, we have Ben Wood from Two Brothers Brewery and Tommy Ortega, a beer guy, and Paul Kermusian from Barcade. How you doing, guys? Ray, what's going on?
Hey,
how was your weekend?
My weekend was actually very, very good. I had a relaxing weekend. Had a great time. Had a problem because last week we had an absinthe tasting at DBA in Brooklyn, and it was kind of... Well, a long recovery period. Absinthe is a really wonderful beverage, but you know it's the kind of thing that you have to think about and handle with kid gloves.
Well, it's not quite the same as the holiday beers we'll be drinking tonight. This is a Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You worked at Union Beer for a long time, didn't you?
About 7 years.
7 years, and you were writing a blog for GreatBrewers.com.
Ortega on Beer, yes.
All right. So, what beers did you bring us?
Well, the first one we're having is the Alesmith Yule Smith from San Diego. It's an Imperial Red Ale, 9.5% alcohol. Nice, toppy.
It's lovely.
Yes.
Really good beer.
And Ben Wood, Ben, you work at Union, but you rep several beers, including Two Brothers, don't you?
Yeah, I work for Two Brothers Brewing out of Chicago, Ballast Point, San Diego, the Van Bergen DeWolf portfolio, Belgian beers primarily, and Lion's Head Brewery out of Pennsylvania.
All right. What do you think of this beer, Ben?
It's
the
really
Alesmith Yule Smith.
This is I like that they sort of kept the sort of really hoppy profile that they're so well known for out west. But you said it was 9.1, Tommy?
9.5.
It's a big beer. Delicious.
So, Tommy, first time I met you was at an event. What was it called? A Beer Geek All Stars with a.
Yeah, what was that? With Mark and Sean McCain from Victory and.
And Michelle, what's Michelle's name?
Arizosa.
Michelle, she works at Union.
Yes.
And who's the woman from Ginger Man?
Oh, Ann.
Ann, we know her as Ann Likes Beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ann's lovely. Lovely girl.
So every once in a while, there's some pretty cool gatherings around town of, you know, beer geeks. And you seem to be a cool guy.
Only on days that end in Y.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little more about yourself, Tommy. How did you ever start working in the beer industry?
Well, before I got into beer, I was in sports marketing, and then quit my job one day. Just wasn't happy anymore. I was out of work for a month. Then Monster.com found me a job in the beer business, and just went from there.
So you just posted on Monster that you wanted a job in the beer business?
And no. It was. You know, I was, you know, it was a sales position, and, you know, I had a sales background, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I like beer, you know, as the theme song goes. It's, and, you know, I applied, and next thing you know, it was 7 years later, here we are.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's not much to it, just, you know, just look online.
So when you wrote your blog, the greatbrewers.com, the Ortega, what is it called? Ortega on what?
Ortega on beer, real original, I must say.
What were some of the themes that you covered?
Oh, it was whatever struck my fancy. One of the last ones I was writing, or most recent ones, was about the World Cup. There was the beer company Bavaria out of the Netherlands. And apparently they hired a group of very attractive women to wear these orange dresses. And it was supposed to be this like guerrilla marketing campaign, and people got arrested. And basically, they had this like 1-inch tab with the beer logo on it, and they called that guerrilla marketing. Now, It was from the Netherlands. It was during a Netherlands soccer match.
Why were they arrested?
Well, because FIFA takes their sponsorships very seriously.
Oh.
So they figured they were infringing with 30 people in an 80,000.
They probably had to deal with Kronenbourg or Stella.
Well, it was Budweiser.
Budweiser, yeah.
But it was like, it was silly because it was 30 people in a group of 80,000 and who were wearing orange, which is the national color of the Netherlands. Everyone's wearing orange, so it was like, I don't know how gorilla that is, but...
Nice try.
Yeah, exactly. They were upset about it.
Where are your papers?
Exactly.
So who did you have to talk to get a blog on greatbrewers.com?
That was Eric McKay's idea. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Eric McKay. He was starting up the website, and he's like, hey, we need someone to give us some content. You want to do it? And that's kind of how it happened. I didn't ask for it. I didn't get paid extra for it.
Sucks.
Yeah. Well, tell me something. I don't know. But but yeah, no, it was just one of those things. I was just helping out Eric. And, you know, I was just what I did there at Union sometimes. It was just one of those guys. It was
now, Union Beer, that's the guys that do the they're one of our sponsors, aren't they, Jimmy? Yeah.
And Union Beer is a.k.a. greatbrewers.com.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to say one other thing. I don't have any beer in my glass. How do I fix that?
I'll get the gentleman a beer.
Thank you.
Well, I want to, Tommy, since you guys brought some really great winter beers.
Oh, right.
You know, tell us about some of the other winter beers that you brought that we have here.
What else do we have here? We got some Stouds Winter from Pennsylvania. We got some Smutty Nose Winter from up in New Hampshire. Ben here, he bought the Two Brothers Northwind. It's a really nice, delicious Imperial Stout. I'm sure Ben can go off more on it than I can, considering that's his job. But
Jump in, Ben, anytime you want.
Yeah.
We brought Tommy because Tommy's a good talker.
Yeah.
We found you in a bar one night. We said, we're going to put you on the radio show.
He was laying dead, as I recall, wasn't he? He was on the floor.
He was talking.
He was kind of under the bar.
But...
All right.
Was that me?
All right, Ben. We're waiting on you, Ben.
Well, yeah, I'm the Two Brothers rep here in New York. Two Brothers just put out their new winter seasonal. It's called Northwind. It's a phenomenal Imperial Stout. Big, roasty, malty characters. Still kind of keep that hot profile pretty strong, as they're pretty well known to do. But this is an all-around solid beer. Comes in at 9.1%.
9.1.
Excellent.
That's what we're drinking right now.
That's what we're drinking right now.
Jesus Christ.
So it's going to be a long night, Ray.
Well, the last one was 9.5, so.
Yeah, I know. Hey. I know.
So, Tommy, I know you've written about some of the winter beer fests and other things.
Okay.
What are some of the favorite beer fests you've been to?
Stouds always puts on a wonderful one. I don't know if you've been down to Adamstown there.
I have been there.
Yeah, it's great. They got a German beer hall, holds 500 people, and then they have a exterior that can hold 500 more, and they usually just real small. It's usually like 12 breweries or so, 12 to 15 breweries, and they just,
right,
you know, it's just the whole town getting together drinking.
That's Adamstown, Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
And Carol Stout's a great, great friend, and somebody. She's one of the first people I met in the beer industry when I first started DBA back in 94. She came in when we were building the bar out, and she's just a good friend and a great supporter of great beer, and makes great beer.
Ray, did you ever make out with her?
She's a great... No.
I've heard she's very lively.
She is a lively lass.
Vivacious?
But no, she's a married woman. Jimmy, why would you even say that on the radio?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
Delete. Rewind and delete. No. Carol and I are just pretty good friends. We shook hands a few times. Always shake hands when we see each other. No, she's great. She makes great beer. She's got a great joint down there in Adamstown, and I'm always...
Tommy, did you ever make out with Carol Stout?
I am not going to incriminate myself on the radio here, but... I'm just going to say no comment.
So that's a good beer fest to go to.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And, you know, along the Pennsylvania Turnpike there, you got 20 minutes down the road, 30 minutes down the road, you got Victory right there. So if you're a fan of Victory, they have a great restaurant as well. And then if you go further west, about 40 minutes, you got Trogues. So you could, like, we hit them all on one weekend. It was just a great trip.
So how far from Philadelphia are those places?
Victory's the closest to Philly. It's about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on traffic there. And it's Downingtown, Adamstown, then you go down to Harrisburg.
So that could be a nice little trip.
Is Sly Fox in that trip?
Yeah, I think you can hit Sly Fox.
Yeah, sure you could.
I haven't.
That's a little further east.
Hit that one, but yeah, no, that's
another
great
brewery.
That's the next one to go to. Yeah.
Well, outside of Philly in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm talking about Carol Stout so much.
Yeah, why are you talking about Carol Stout, Jimmy?
Well, because not too long ago, we tried to have a, we wanted to have a show about women in beer. And then suddenly, all the women involved didn't want to be on a show called Women in Beer. So anecdotes came out about different people. And I think that Carol Stout was voted like most popular woman in beer by our panel of experts.
I think that makes sense. So, Jim, did you ever make it?
I've never met her.
You never met her, really?
No. But I do. I like her beer. We got some Stouts Pils in recently.
Stouts Pils, Scarlet Lady is a wonderful beer. Yeah, she just makes some of the great beers in America and has been for a really long time.
But speaking of seasonals, they have probably the best domestic Oktoberfest, I think.
I agree.
Personally.
I agree.
Their Oktoberfest beer is phenomenal.
But. And everybody knows how I feel about Oktoberfest beers.
I don't know. Two Brothers Adamson.
What about these winter beers? We got some other winter beers here. We got Paul Kermesian here, and we got Sam Merritt. We're waiting for more microphones at the Heritage Radio Network.
Wreck of the Halls. I had to go get this in New Jersey.
Sam, what are we drinking?
Full Sail.
This is Full Sail Wreck the Halls.
Wreck the Halls. I like that.
And Paul Kermesian. Paul, did you bring this in?
Yeah, I had to go bootleg this from out of state.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Let's just like drink for a while. Let's stop talking. Just drink for a bit.
Burp. We got some cool guys. Paul Kermesian. So Paul from Barcade, returning guest. You're opening a new Barcade?
We're opening two new Barcades. One in Jersey City, New Jersey, and one in Philadelphia.
Jersey City, New Jersey.
Yeah. We're making a leap.
Wow, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Where is it in Jersey City?
Right off the Grove Street path.
Okay.
So minutes from New York City.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And how big is it?
It's larger than the space we have in Williamsburg. It's about 3,500 square feet.
And you're going to have all the video games and the pinball machines?
31 games, 25 beers, almost the same exact kind of, configuration.
Wow, that's Jersey City. I'm sure they can use that.
We can. I live in North Jersey, admittedly, but I'm
excited. Sam, you live in Jersey? I didn't know that.
Yeah, a place called West New York, New Jersey.
Sam, get on the mic. Come on.
But New Jersey's changing a lot. The Buy Right people just put in a giant store
right
near there, and they have 1,500 labels of beer.
Buy Right has. Oh, a Buy Right liquor store. Right.
Yeah, and they had, they're...
One in Jersey City, has a huge selection.
How big is their sales floor is, I think, 30,000 square feet. It's just immense. And so there's a big selection there, but it's great to see, now you can also get the beers, on draft.
Of course, as a bar owner, you would never visit that place to pick up any kind of...
No, it's
to augment your
right
inventory.
Between the entrance and exit on the Holland Tunnel, which is... Kind of nice.
Wow.
If you can actually get in a cab and pay
for it. Now you'll be able to buy these beers in Jersey City now for home consumption, and now there'll be a bar in Jersey City that'll have all these on draft.
Do you live out there?
I live in Williamsburg.
Oh, you're in Williamsburg. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm from New Jersey originally.
Where in Jersey?
I'm from Bound Brook, which is like
Bound Brook. I know where Bound Brook is. Yeah. Yeah, I'm from Jersey also.
There you go.
Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Oh yeah, that's not too. Yeah.
Bound Brook, Woodbridge.
Not too far.
Not far at all.
Jersey!
Yeah, we're here.
Calm down.
what are some other beers that we have tonight?
I brought the Sammy Claus because December 6th was Santa Claus Day, and this is very specifically winter beer. So the Sammy
Let's
Claus,
try the Sammy Claus. That sounds good.
Yeah,
where's that made now?
Hellas first, the red bottle.
I've never seen that. There's
in
two.
Austria. It's not made in Switzerland anymore,
it was
right?
Switzerland.
Right.
And then the Germans bought it from them. I just did a little back reading
on it. Bought it.
But, the cool thing is it was 1979 was when they first brewed it. And it was made to... They basically fermented a very warm lager yeast.
Is this Sammy Claus?
Yeah.
It looks different.
It's the Helles.
Okay.
So there's a dark and a light version. Okay. They're 14% alcohol. For a long time, they were the strongest beers in the
14%
world.
14%
The Helles is 14 also?
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody in the, in the room, just like their eyes got really
Sammy Klaus. Sammy Klaus.
14%.
For a great while was the strongest beer in the world. Until these guys from Scotland and everybody started messing around. And,
right.
So, December 6th is the day in that the Swiss originally would exchange gifts on Santa Claus Day. So this is the day that they brewed this beer, and then they did a pretty intense fermentation, and then they aged it for 10 months, lagered it for 10 months for the next year.
The beer that we're drinking right now is that?
Yeah, both of these Sammy Klaus.
Is this new to the new brewery? They didn't make this before, right?
They did make it before, but it's very new to the U.S.
Oh, okay.
It smells like yeast. It smells like bread.
Yeah, it's hugely malty, but it's like, you know, we keep hearing about all these strong beers that are going on. Meanwhile, the Sammy Klaus has been there forever, and there's a great guy named Tom Villa, who's one of the brewers at Brooklyn, and his nickname for me through the beer business was Sammy Klaus, and I would call him, of course, Thomas Brow, the Polaner non-alcoholic beer.
So Sam, as the Heritage Beer Sessions Radio sommelier, what would you pair this with?
I would pair it with a creme brulee that had some citrus probably sitting on top of it or something, like some kind of a tartish creme brulee. But that would marry perfectly. This is, again, like a contemplative beer. Like, this is a beer that you might want to have after you have everything to eat that night. And sitting there, like, almost you're going to pass out in a half an hour because there's a fire going in, you're full, and
fire's
it's
going out.
You're relaxed.
Right.
But then you go to sleep.
Right.
But if you think about it, like maybe a nice goat cheese because of the tartness, but this is a very sweet beer. So malty. You want to look for some contrast with this beer. Some tartness, maybe a nice fresh cheese.
So this is a dessert beer, basically.
Yeah, for dessert.
Or maybe a cigar.
Oh, yeah, like a sweet cigar, sure.
Yeah, like
one of those Swisher Sweets, you know? Mm-hmm. Those famous ones.
I think you hit it, man. It's a Swisher Sweet.
Yeah, Swisher Sweets.
It's just right.
So, yeah, but this is their Helles version that you don't really see. It's considered by Michael Jackson, the beer hunter, to be in the Doppelbock style, even though it's so strong.
And it's got a real biscuity finish to it. It's like...
Yeah, it's like marmalade, like biscuit marmalade. There's definitely a lot of fruit, orange and stuff, but it finishes dry for that.
It's kind of like
alcohol.
It is kind of like fizzy creme brulee.
Yeah,
when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is. So,
is there eggs in this beer?
Hold on, I'll be right back.
I don't know if I can drink a whole glass, but
it's powerful.
Let's take a little break here on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll be right back.
Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. They call me back door Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. Oh, 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 I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play. Look at him. Come but once a year. Oh, 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 oh. I ain't like old Saint Nick. He don't come but once a year. But look at here. I come running with my presents every time you call me dear. Look at here. I keep some change in my pocket.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's a special message about Heritage Radio Network. Each week, Heritage Radio Network brings you over 20 shows featuring some of the most innovative voices in sustainable culture today. From Cooking Issues with Dave Arnold to We Dig Plants to Beer Sessions Radio, our shows are made possible by our generous sponsors and from listeners like you. On the homepage of the Heritage Radio Network site, which is heritageradionetwork.com, there's a link to make a donation to the network. If you like what you hear and want to keep this programming available to enjoy, click on the link and donate what you can. Any little bit helps. For further information, visit heritageradionetwork.com. We're back on Beer Sessions Radio, sponsored by greatbrewers.com. That was not me. That was a recording just now with the sponsorship message. You know, we're here tonight, you know, greatbrewers.com, Good Beer Seal, and we got a little cool thing going on right now. We got some cool guys. We got Tommy Ortega and Ben Wood, some beer guys. We got Paul Kermesian from Barcade and Sam Merritt, our own Beer Sessions Radio beer sommelier. Sam, it's the challenge time. It's the food and beer pairing challenge.
All right.
We're here at Roberta's, and they've got great food. And I'm going to pick two dishes out, and I'm going to have you just out of your great wealth of beer knowledge, do a food pairing.
Hold on, let me close my eyes.
Let's start with one of our favorite dishes here is bone marrow.
Okay.
Love the bone marrow.
Yeah, you guys introduced me to the bone marrow. So, you know, I'm crazy about it. It's pretty much the rest of the meal fades away, and I just look forward to that part, which is, you know, I was one of those kids that just ate the buttered part of the bread, you know? So about the bone marrow, like, how is it prepared? How do they do that? They just slice it open and then they roast it?
They just roast it so it's no seasoning or anything.
It's very gelatinous.
Correct.
Right? And very sweet, but also savory as heck because I think it's got one of that fifth flavor umami going on.
I think it does.
It's got a big umami thing, which is meaty as a big mushroom is meaty. It's meaty as a ripe tomato.
When in doubt, it's umami.
Yeah. So it's umami that we're looking for. So
what should we drink with it?
So it's fatty. It's fatty as hell. So I would turn to effervescence first and lightness. It's really savory. So I would turn to like citrusy, effervescent, light beers. The saisons, you know, the farmhouse stuff. And that would be the contrast. If I was to sort of make amends with the dish a little bit and turn and do some complementary and resonance flavors, I would turn to something more malty and sweet in the upswing, like, for instance, the Stoud's Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah.
And that would marry perfectly. It would dry things out a little bit, but you'd start out nice and sweet, and that would marry perfectly with, I think, the
How about the Jaeger Pilsner?
The Jaeger would be fine. You know, that's nice. You're going more towards, right. You know, and again, you can have a contrast, complement, and other beer that will go and do both things. So all of those are great. It's just a matter of what you want to experience with that.
Right.
But yeah, so those are
okay. So
three great
what's
beers
next?
For that.
What's next, Jimmy?
All right, the next one is they make great pizzas here at Roberta's.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm going to pick a simple pizza. It's all challenging. Right. The Rosso that they have, which our producer Bree O'Connor often gets.
Yes.
It's just like tomato with a little garlic. Very simple.
Okay.
What would you pair with that? That's a tough one.
You know, the tomato and garlic, they're both on the very sweet side. You know, oregano is out there, but it's very it's very trad. You know, trad Italian red sauce to have those kind of things going. There's a company, I think, that makes a beer called Pizza Beer.
I knew you'd know something like this.
They're pretty obscure. I don't know why it didn't take off.
Have you heard of it, Tommy?
It was out of Chicago. I believe it was contract brewed in
really.
I guess I'm dodging while I think of the perfect beer.
Yeah, it
tastes like pizza.
I heard of this beer. Wait till you hear this. Jimmy.
I heard of this beer.
Pizza and beer go pretty much any beer and any pizza go together.
Actually, no.
Out of the gate.
Paul, did you try a pizza beer?
I had a basil beer that tasted.
Yeah.
A beer with basil?
Yeah, I had it at a brew pub called Right Brain Brewing in Traverse City, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
That's the exact beer that I was thinking of, Jimmy. So, yeah, thanks, Paul.
Yeah, no problem.
We have an awesome room of beer experts.
There you go. Actually, I personally, best beer with pizza is Lagunitas, the censored ale.
Really?
The Chronic, as it's also known as. Just a rich copper ale, just...
I don't know. For some reason, I think it just works best with pizza.
Regardless of the toppings, regardless of how it's made, yeah. whether it's like it fired
just,
or
it just
or
complements baked. It yeah, nicely.
Totally, especially if it's baked, yes. Tommy.
Because right now, I mean, pizza, when I was a kid, pizza was like, you know, it came, you know, it was in a pizza oven and it was whatever it is. But now it's like we have like, you know, like here at Roberta's, they have a wood-fired, wonderful stone oven. I mean, it's the whole place is like lit by the warmth of this wonderful pizza oven here.
So Sam, you just you took the master was the Cicerone program. You've been a so big. I'm gonna give it to you. You've been
so
teaching
just,
classes for Cicerone servers, and you. What's the level you just took the test?
So
then?
I just took the master Cicerone exam. There's three levels of this exam, and just in terms of the stats, there's about 2,500 people at the first level of this program, which is certified beer server. A lot of retailers.
And that's the course you teach at Jimmy's.
That's
number
the
43
one I teach at Jimmy's
places.
43. We've just done the next two sessions, which is end of February and March. So 2 day sessions. There's two workshops coming up. But yeah, that's the training we do at Jimmy's. So it's pretty basic stuff. Second level is certified Cicerone, which is what I am now. There's about 160 or so certified Cicerones around the country, and that's
160 in the country.
Yeah,
or in the world.
No, well, yes, the country and the world.
And the world.
Yeah,
in the universe.
Are there any New York City beer guys that you know that have that level besides yourself?
Yes, yeah, and gals.
Phil Aguas.
Ann likes beer from
Gingerman.
So there's a bunch of us now. It's exciting to have more than one of us in a room at the same time.
Wow.
For me. Because we, you know, we all start like, you know, kissing each other's asses.
Sam, if I wanted to get that level of expertise, what would I have to do?
You would have to come and let me counsel you, Ray, and we'll get you in there.
I'm so into that.
Well, I'll tootle you, bro.
I want to get counsel.
Tootle you. Civilization of beer, beer educator in New York City.
I'm Kaplan. I'm basically the Kaplan of the Cicerone program. Is how I've niched myself. Cicerone also puts out their own training, but so the second level is an in-person test. It's definitely more involved. If you've been in the beer business a while, you know, with some study, you can pass it. The third level, the stats are a little more.
Third level.
Yeah, the master level. They've given that test once. Last November, seven people took it and one person passed. His name is Van Thiel. Van Thiel. That guy.
Who the fuck
Michigan.
Is he?
He's from Michigan and he knows more about beer than any of us put together.
And,
right?
And so, what does he do with that knowledge?
Well, he sells beer with ease and comfort and grace.
So he's in the business.
Yeah, he's a distributor out there. So that was I took the test this past October with five other people, three of whom
you failed.
No.
Oh. Ouch.
This is the one. No, Sam.
Wow. We just hit the sore subject in the room here.
Right now. It's not that Sam. I have like any. I don't have any. Me and Ray are like less than a foot away from each other. And he says this to me.
So wait,
I'm like, that's cool. Enough. Okay, now he's rubbing.
I got a question here.
No, okay, go to Tommy's.
I did fail. How are you?
You didn't fail, though. Tommy, what's your question?
How could you be the Kaplan of the Cicerone when you fail the.
That's a great question.
Don't you have to like give that title up for the time being?
No, that's a great question. Here's the thing. I don't write the tests, and I don't know what the tests are going to look like. All I can do is prepare people
that
as best I can.
That comes from God, isn't it?
It comes from God in the form of a guy named Ray Daniels.
Ray Daniels in Connecticut?
Who, let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, when he wrote that test, he's an angry God, okay? So I took it with six other people out there. It's a two-day thing. It's kind of an ordeal. And I did not pass. You have to get an 85 to pass this thing. I got a 73. And 73 is where I've been my whole life, you know, throughout any kind of scholastic aptitude, you know. It used to be 65. I don't know. You know, when I was growing up, it was 65. 73 is like, all right, cool, no problem. But anyway, so, you know, I have to step up and study for next year. And
Sam, we're behind you, man. We're going to help you. We're going to coach you.
And, you know, sometimes the best teachers don't do. So.
I will be studying. If you want to send any questions about beer, to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm the Beer Sessions Radio sommelier, and I'm a candidate for to be a master. And the only way that you can really master is if you get a ton of strange questions.
You know, we have another question here. So, we have a question, an email question, from a listener, Elizabeth Wilza in Manhattan. I think she's also a beer writer sometimes. It says, with the holidays, my boyfriend and I get into arguments about beer or wine. What's better to serve at a holiday meal? I prefer beer, and his family likes wine. What would be a good beer for me to bring for the wine lovers in his family?
Okay, first off, if you are in a family, that's your first sort of blessing. You should just be grateful and not fight.
Oh.
Second off, is that luckily the stores sell wine and beer, so you can get both.
That's why you failed.
So I'm just trying to be pragmatic here, but actually, if somebody's really a wine person, there's a reason, and they like it. The book that I always mention when it comes to wine versus beer is a book by Sam Clazione and a lady named Marnie Old, and it's called "He Said Beer, She Said Wine," and it's a beautiful juxtaposition between the differences between, you know, wine and food versus beer and food, and it's a really, really lighthearted but informative.
But does it have to be a competition?
But it is a good book. You should check it out.
It's a great book.
He said beer, she said wine. It is a good book.
This question is actually an opposite of what is sometimes normal. It's usually he said beer, she said wine.
She
wants to bring beer.
Well, the other thing, I mean, let's answer that question, Paul. What would you suggest for a beer for wine lovers?
There are some wine like beers you're mentioning, Sam, that Dogfish Head actually brews. I think Raison d'Etre or Midas Touch can be appealing, I think, to wine drinkers, and might be something they would.
Great. Let's get Ben Wood, because he reps American and Belgian brands.
Lambics, right? Yeah, the Lambics would definitely sort of go down that
road. Speaking of holiday beers, have you had the Jenlain Noël this year?
It's pretty
good. Really subtle. It's not too over the top. It's really, really drinkable. Very good. That would be a good beer for a wine drinker to check in on.
I'd also probably suggest maybe some of the Skaldis beers as well, just because they're
Skaldis, really?
Yeah, Skaldis they've got a sort of a wine.
Full disclosure, Ben.
He
reps
Skaldis.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there is one.
That's true.
What's the beer? The Skaldis beer with the peach.
It's called Peshmel. It's a beer that's brewed with peach extract. Very fragrant, big bouquet in your face.
Oh, as a dessert beer,
yeah, a little bit. The Skaldis Strong, for example, I mean, that could be definitely sort of a substitute if people are into those big, bold flavors. That might be something that would sort of go down that road.
I would think it's funny that Skaldis is called Skaldis in America.
You want to get into that for a second?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because in Belgium it's called Busch beer.
It's called Busch.
So there's this like little brewery here in America called Anheuser-Busch.
Exactly.
That prevents them from actually using their real name because there's a river runs right by the Busch River.
Runs right by the brewery.
Exactly.
B-U-S-H. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently when Skaldis first tried to really get started in the U.S., I guess the Anheuser-Busch company had a little problem.
I think Anheuser-Busch went after them in Europe also.
I believe they did as well.
Yeah, they did.
But they kind of had their roots grounded there, and they had a pretty big commitment.
They probably got a lot more juice we always get to these conversations, and Jamie gets pissed off about it.
He's about getting pissed right brewers. Now. You can tell.
So we'll stop. Let's change the subject.
I'll talk more. Tommy, tell us.
One last thing, though. It's kind of a crude comparison, but it all depends on what kind of wine they're drinking. Mm-hmm. If they're a white wine drinker, I would definitely steer them more towards lagers. And then if they're a red wine drinker, definitely more towards the ales.
Yeah, but that doesn't work all the time, though.
I think it does. It's kind of crude, but it does work in some cases.
Okay, for example, Saison DuPont.
Yes.
We all love to say something.
Ben, do you rep that brand also?
I do indeed.
That could be one I would think that white wine drinkers could get behind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's an ale. It's an ale. And I said it before, I'll say it again. It's a Jenlain Noël. This year, it's so it's so balanced.
It's so Genlay Noel, imported by Sheldon Brothers. It's a French craft beer.
Yeah, really
some
good.
Some of those Captain Lawrence large bottles, I think, also like the... I mean, it's a little more complex, but Golden Delicious or the Cuvée Castleton, I would think that would impress anyone who's used to drinking wine. And
there's some who can name a
Scott's amazing.
Is does he put some grapes in the Cuvée de Castleton?
I think the Cuvée has.
Yeah, that's been a trend where some wine makers are making
the Golden Delicious
wine.
Is like apple brandy barrel aged. I think
right. Phil Marcaski's done that too. He's put grapes into his.
But you're right about Captain Lawrence has really been up and coming. I mean, he's really. How long has Captain Lawrence been open?
About 3-4 years now.
Three or four years.
I think. Yeah, we've had it for about 4 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
And Ben, what about some of the other breweries you rep? Ballast Point.
Yep.
Do they do anything that would fit the holiday need of Elizabeth Wilson?
I mean, Ballast Point is they do some really incredibly big beers and really amazing beers. Holiday wise, they kind of steer away from it. They typically, they'll do some specialty stuff. Right now, they've got a great beer out, if you can find it. Sorry, New York. But it's called Victory at Sea. It's a vanilla coffee bean imperial porter. Complex.
A vanilla coffee bean imperial porter.
Correct.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in that beer. They were pretty nervous with the when the whole Four Loko scandal kind of happened.
Okay,
they kind of got right. freaked out.
I see.
It's one of the beers that they're most well known for, and they also do a lot of barrel aging with that beer in particular.
Who here has had the Four Loko?
I hate to say it, I've had the Four Loko.
Enjoy. All right, hey, we're gonna take a little break here now.
I had it on cask.
Of course you did.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel. Mr. Grinch, you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch, your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders, you've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, has a really cool app. It's on the Beer Cloud app. There's the Beer Sommelier, and you can do your own pairings online. I think Sam had something to do with that. I know you had something to do with the Great Brewers Test. That's a pretty cool test. I mean, how would you compare the Great Brewers Test 100
right.
to the Cicerone? What level is that?
The GBT, as we call it, the Great Beer Test, originally was called the BSAT, but for legal protection, we decided to change it.
What did that stand for?
The Beer Scholastic Aptitude Test.
Well, of course.
But so we wrote that test up. And, there's a lot of history and culture in it, besides very practical knowledge. And it took a long time to write that test because when you get an answer wrong, you can go back and have an explanation of what was right. And so there's usually a paragraph or two about the reason that you got that question wrong. So it's a real learning tool. As far as the difference between that and the online multiple choice, first level Cicerone, is that it's much more practical on the Cicerone level.
You didn't feel that one, Sam, right?
What's that?
You passed that one, right?
Yes, passed it right off the bat. Thanks, Ray. You got a 74 and a half. So I think you need a 75 on that one, so I got a 76,
passing is passing.
So I'm smarter than a beer server.
Can I interject here for
please,
a second?
Please, Ben.
I'm a civilization of beer alumni.
That's right. He's taken the training.
I would say at least you've got the gusto to get out there and go for it.
So cheers to you.
Thank all you. Right. Thank you.
Hell
there.
Yeah.
Now, Ben, it's your turn. How did you get in beer? I mean, you've got this great job. All these great brands, every time I mention a brand, you start cheering. It's like you get Samson DuPont, you
He's
get
like, that's mine. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about 7 months. But I come
7 months?
7 months, yep.
He's a fast track guy.
Yeah, but I come from a family of beer. I'm the fifth generation of my family to be involved in the beer industry.
Really?
One form
in what capacities?
My great-great-grandfather opened a brewery in Boston called Star Brewing in Roxbury, and that went under in Prohibition.
Right. That's the old dude.
They started running booze out of Canada into Boston, and then they
You're a gangster.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're a gangster. Holy shit.
And then after that, they started the brewery back up. It eventually fizzled out. My grandfather worked for Anheuser-Busch for about 40 years, started his own distribution company up in Westchester County. Both my parents, all of my immediate family worked for him, and I'm the next generation to get back into it. And I got into it completely by luck. And I was
by luck? What do you say?
By luck? Yeah, total luck. Yeah. All right.
I had originally applied for a job.
You weren't drawn to it at all.
No. With no connections.
It was a job with some really sort of out there import sort of rest of world brands.
I love it.
Is that what they call it these days? Import?
Well,
okay,
no, it was,
I understand.
Know, it was a great brands like Moa and Julius Echter and things like that. And for whatever reason,
Julius Echter's a great. That's a great. Yep. I love that word.
Sure.
And about a week and a half later, the guys at Uni called me back and they said, "Hey, we've got another portfolio for you to work with." And I said, "Okay, so what is it?" And they said, "Oh, it's Two Brothers." I was like, "Okay, Ballast Point. All right, Van Bergen and DeWolf," and I was okay.
This is a new breed of beer representative, whereas small specialty suppliers are grooming and cultivating almost a mini broker in him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
really?
You know, they know that they're going to get the respect that they deserve for every single one of their styles, and their guy is educated.
So they're breeding and growing them. There's a hospital someplace where these infants are being like fed beer.
There's petri dishes all over the place of little Ben Woods. And actually, what goes on is that they get that Cicerone training, you know, as they're being
intravenous,
you know, as they're being replicated. It's a beautiful thing. Exactly. Growing.
So Ben Wood is a multi-generation in many families and people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear more about this Star Brewing, man. It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, Star Brewing was it was a big sort of New England brewery.
When was it founded?
1896 was the first year of brewing. Unfortunately, now the building that I was in up in Roxbury, Massachusetts, is now a catering company. But God is my witness, I will buy that building once more.
Okay.
So is that your goal, to make a new brewery?
I would absolutely
restore your family's glory.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. It's a few years down the road. As soon as I can pay rent in New York City and all that good stuff. But they did a couple
kind of beers did they?
They did, you know, they did a stock ale. I'm not even exactly
stock ale.
Sure
yeah,
know what that is, but yeah, exactly.
It's a traditional. It's stock. It's exactly what it sounds like.
Stock ale. There it is.
Yep.
They did a beer called Star Lager, and if anyone's from Maine out there, they did a beer called Bowdoin Beer, which was a
Bowdoin College.
Yep. Exactly.
So would you recreate? Would it be Star Brewing again?
I've actually had a very serious conversation with my family about this. We'd probably call it Northern Star. Or something to that effect. I'd really like to keep the name intact.
The family always has an opinion.
The family, I know. They can't keep their mouth shut.
And they should.
Yes, they should.
Tommy, did you have a question for Ben?
No, I'm good.
All right.
You're just sitting there drinking beer.
Damn right.
Then, Paul, you've got a lot of things going on, too. When you also, in addition to owning a bar, you made a really cool movie at one time called American Beer.
Yes, I did.
And which, of course, we've all been talking about.
Makes a great holiday gift.
And you can still get it. It's still out there, American Beer.
Oh, yeah. DVDs are for sale on the World Wide Web, Amazon.com.
They're on internet?
The internet, yeah.
The interweb.
Yeah,
Netflix, can you buy it? Can we Netflix it?
It's one of the recommended media that we give
to everyone who trains with Civilization and Beer. And
did you watch it, Sam?
I've watched it several times.
And you still
times
didn't pass that final.
Several, several audience. You know what it
can
is?
Can I get an honorary degree
then? Absolutely. You just show up at Jimmy's on the 28th of February, and we're going to do the whole deal. It's going to be great.
All right.
Yeah, we'll have some beer. But, yeah, it's one of the best
there will
beer,
be beer
movies out there. And it's really, you know, before Beer Wars and before American Brew that was done by the Here's to Beer people. And before, you know, of course, Sam Colagione's Discovery Channel special now, Brewmasters. Yeah, do you think of that show?
I made that guy when it comes to you know,
Sam?
Media.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I.
No, so did I. No, I did too.
I sold beer to Nacho Mamas when he was still a waiter.
I remember that.
You know?
No, but what does everyone think of the show, though?
And I was like, more
beach,
guacamole,
basically.
You fool.
Okay, good question, Tommy. Okay, what do you think of the show Brewmasters, Paul?
I've been watching it. It's very interesting. I mean, it shows a lot about the brewing process, and a lot of, you know, what can go right and what can go wrong. I mean, unfortunately, you know, they've had a few disasters, it seems like, in the first few episodes. Which...
Yeah, I think that show is going to do for beer what Discovery Channel did for, you know, eating crab, you know, with that Deadliest Catch. You know, it's really, no, but it's
I was wondering where you go with that.
It's a great show. It's really great. I mean, I can't wait to buy the whole box of them and make sure that everybody in the beer business watches it.
I hope he has enough of some of the beers that they're making in the episodes, though, because there's going to be real demand for some of those.
Well, there's a lot of breweries that don't have enough beer and for the markets they serve that are pulling back in distribution, which I find is really awesome. I just was over at the Brooklyn Brewery yesterday, and they haven't opened a new state in 2 years because they've been keeping up with, you know, serving their regular distribution. So it's really nice to see, okay, you know, there's a bunch of people that are just making as much as they can.
And their brewery, I mean, Dogfish Head, when you see in the show, that brewery is... Like the size of the space, like from when we did the film 8 years ago, they were in a tiny little space. It's amazing how much they've grown in a short amount of time, and I think the show will probably just blow them up even more.
Ben, I think you know that show in particular will do wonders for the craft beer industry as a whole, just sort of educating the masses about the beer process and sort of the historical context from which it comes. I mean, the Peruvian episode when they talk about chicha. I mean, it's been done for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
It's a traditional,
you know,
brewery. Yeah. But Ben, this is one thread from this is, of the different beers that you're selling right now, how do you deal with distribution? Because I know some of those are really limited. Do they have a plan in place about not selling and, you know, expansion or, you know?
Yeah,
tell us how this works. This is your business. And
sure. Yeah,
I want to talk about your business. I want to talk about TV shows. So.
Yeah, Two Brothers, for example, I mean, they're a phenomenal brewery out of Chicago. But they can only really keep up with, you know, as much as the demand can ask for. So, you know, they had to shut down the Philadelphia market, which is a huge beer market, and they had to shut down the Boston beer market only because New York's demand was so great. So they're only distributed in 5 states right now, which is Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and New York. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of insight as to, you know, a brewery that's only doing about 30,000 barrels a year, how much space they can actually cover. So it really depends on, you know, they shut down Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's their next door neighbor. Why is that? Because there's a lot of beer in Wisconsin. You know,
it's a lot of ground to cover. So yeah, if you go into that kind of a state, you have to be able to cover it
exactly.
You know? If I had a small brewery out of state, I would never want to waltz into Wisconsin expecting to get draft lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so fierce there.
Yeah.
How about New Jersey?
Not yet.
Come on. I'm gonna need it.
I know. I wish I still be
in New Jersey. We'll have to work on that. Before,
and Ben, how did that work for you? I mean, that's on the other side, you know, you've been running a bar in New York City, and now you're going to be in Jersey City. What's different about it?
Well, there's different beers available. I mean, once you cross that, you know, it's
different laws too.
Yeah, a few miles away, and the availability of beers is completely different. And the laws are different from on the bar side and on the brewing side, so you know, it'll be a challenge to try to, you know, recreate the same
you know, beer list. You know, there's not a lot of craft beer bars in New Jersey, so just talking to the breweries right now, it's about, like, how can we get all the specialty stuff and make sure it gets there, so.
And you got a place opening in Philly, too?
Philly, yeah. And that's, you know, nice. We get all kinds of beer there. It's like a great beer market.
Yeah, it's great for beer bars, but for a consumer to buy beer in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, you got to buy a case.
You have to buy a truck, I think.
Yeah,
a truck
load. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Horse and wagon.
You can't buy a six-pack.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. But where's your place going to be in Philadelphia?
Fishtown. Which is like Northern Liberties, kind of on the north of downtown, kind of on the border of both of those neighborhoods.
That's great, man.
Are you going to have, like, fish games there? Like, you know, I'm just saying.
Wait, we're going to have Swimmer. Do you know that arcade game?
Sure, yeah. Weird. We'll,
like, Frogger.
Weird guy.
Yeah, like, we might have. Maybe we'll get that. Yeah.
Now let me ask you, with the bar in Philly, are you going to have beer to go? Because I know in some bars in Philly you can get six packs to go.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. It's the same reason we have never done growlers. Like, I just see on a Saturday night when we're full, people at their table popping open the bottles and, you know, just not wanting to deal with that. You know,
beer
for us is for consumption on site.
On-premise.
Yeah, on-premise.
Sam, one last thing. When we first talked to you about a while ago, you told us how you got into the beer business, and this involves swimming and drinking. You have a little anecdote for us before we
is a good story, and I do bring it up a lot when people ask. But
you were swimming in beer?
I was interviewed by a guy who swam in college as well. So I swam in college, and I had a little tiny scholarship to swim in college for the state university program here in New York. And so we had double workouts from basically September to March. Which meant that you had to be in the water at 6 o'clock in the morning and at 3 in the afternoon for about 5.5 to 6 hours of swimming. It didn't slow me down from drinking beer. So eventually, while I was still swimming, I was going into a fraternity. And one of the rules in the fraternity is while you're pledging the fraternity, you never drank. You never paid for your own beer. The guys would always pay for it. So they would drop me off on the steps of the swimming place, and I would wake up the next morning and jump in the water, you know, an hour and a half later. But the guy that interviewed me in Brooklyn was a college swimmer as well. And he said, well, you know, one of the things that when you're a college swimmer is you hoot with the owls at the night, but you soar with the eagles in the morning, right? So Jim Munson, who's a great guy.
Jim's a great guy.
Yeah, wonderful guy. You know, took
sells
me under.
Sells coffee now.
Yeah, sells coffee. Dallas Brothers, and I think some other things. But, you know, he learned as much about coffee as he did beer.
Yep.
But Jim Munson, you know, we swam the same event in college. He's like, all right, I know you can hack it. You just got to show up. Make sure you're, you know, there and sell a lot of beer, and you'll learn a lot about
it. So the anecdote is you got to be able to stay up late and drink and wake
you,
up.
Who
in
the owls at night and soar with the hawks and the eagles in the morning. And that's something, you know, with every beer professional, especially the ones that do promos and travel and put the beer in their car and set up the draft systems. It's a vagabond life.
Especially our customers have to do that as well.
Yeah,
because they've got to stay at the bar late. Yeah. They've got to come and we open.
So, darling, I'm staying
late tonight. Ray. It's a grind.
I'm staying late tonight, but I'll be up early to work in the morning.
Correct.
But, okay, and we're going to do a little sign-off and do Good Beer Seal Bar events. There's some really great events going on in the city this week. Tonight, Jimmy's number 43, the NYC DAT's Holiday Beer, Chocolate, and Cheese Pairing. Victory Beer is at the Pony Bar. Wednesday, December 15th, is Barcade's Winter Beer Night. And yes. Standings has the Night of Christmas Ales on Wednesday. Also Wednesday, Blind Tiger Ale House will feature White Birch Brewing in a premier New York City event. And also, I'm going to put a plug in February 8th. Put it on your calendars. Go to DBA in Brooklyn. It'll be the Beer Sessions Radio 50th show party. You're all invited. We've got great brewers.
Jubilee.
We'll be there February 8th. So just check out Good Brew Seal, goodbrewseal.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can also find Beer Sessions Radio on Facebook. Thanks to Ray, Sam, Paul, Tommy, and Ben for joining me here tonight on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carbone. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Bree O'Connor. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lift.